Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent. Match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrecht and Tommy Kester.
Welcome in, everybody. Happy Friday to you. Jacob Albrecht, Tommy Kester back with you to get ready for the weekend. Chad Chambers producing. He's got the IHOP hotline, which is brought to you by IHOP, official breakfast partner of Xbox. Decadent, fully loaded French toast only at IHOP. It's 869-1240. We've got some giveaways. Our final days to give away for Illuminations at Botanica for the PBR event coming to Wichita tonight. So, well, we're going to get you a chance to go to both of those. We'll also give you some HTO. We got the full gang coming in second hour to make some picks. We have TJ Cleland, Brandon Zinner, Paul Savage in. Six NFL games as we're sort of pushing pause on college football until we get to the playoff. But we'll have plenty for you there. College basketball is back finally this weekend. Glad these teams got some time off, Tommy, but let's be selfish for a minute. That wasn't a fun week.
No,
to not have any college basketball.
There wasn't much going on this week.
What have you done for me lately? That's what we'll do. So we'll have some of that coming for you this weekend. By the way, if you missed any of our conversation with Paul Mills on Wednesday, you can go back and listen to that on the Odyssey app. The Odyssey app is a great way to listen to the show. You can download it. You can take it with you wherever you are. Listen whenever you want. You can leave us voice messages there. That's right. You heard that right. You just push a little microphone. You can leave a voice message. You can send it. Jad gets it. We can play that right over the air. Of course, you can call that IHOP hotline, and you can leave us your video comments on Facebook, on YouTube, on X, and thanks for watching us on 12 News Connected. Tommy, I had about 10 or 12 of the last 36 hours of my life have been on the road. So, you know, if there is any major craziness that's happened over the last that period, I probably haven't had a chance to dig into it yet. I am very glad to be done with that, but here we go. We had a nice holiday party right before I hit the road the other day. It was great. You know, great venue. Thanks to everybody at Odyssey for putting that on. That was a lot of fun. And here we are. It's a Friday.
All
we're ready for the weekend.
Hey, look, all you need to do is thank me. I mean, you say everybody at Odyssey, I did it. So, I mean, you could say thank you, Tommy, for organizing the company Christmas party. It's okay. I'll take the credit for it.
I could say that. I could, but listen, there are others I'm looking at right here. In the email that you sent on driving forces to organize everything
That's
for the party.
True. So I may have been the guy to, I found the venue. Okay. So like yes. I secured the venue and then I turned it over to people who are much better than me at actually putting the details together.
You absolutely did what men do and you started it and you didn't finish it.
Yes.
And you know, smarter people than us can come in and fill in the details.
Can I also say that I'm learning the lesson, and it was a great party, don't get me wrong, but I'm learning the lesson that a weeknight Christmas party is tough. It's tougher now than it maybe was 20 years ago.
Did you have a little hangover? Did you have a little hangover yesterday?
Yeah, and it wasn't because of the party. It was because of the after party. We had our corporate folks come in. We had my boss was in town. And, you know, so the party ended. Technically, the party ended at 9. Everybody was basically out of there by 8:30. Like, and I was ready to go home and go to bed. And then, you know, everybody's like, oh, there's the after party across the street. Like, oh, okay, it's a Wednesday night. What are we doing? Yesterday was a little bit of a grind.
I will trade you that for immediately leaving the party and driving 6 hours to Dallas, which is what I did after the holiday party. And I felt some sort of hangover yesterday, most of the day. I'm still a little groggy from that turnaround. We're getting old. It's fine. It's disgusting. It's sad. It's pathetic. And nobody cares or has sympathy for it. But we're, you know, we wish that you would. 869-1240 is the number to call. One thing I have seen in the time away is the clarity with Hollywood Brown, that it looks like he will be back for the postseason. He can begin practicing. There's no need to rush him back. I do think he can help, right? I think everything helps what ails the Chiefs. If they're going to refuse to run the ball, having Hollywood Brown in a quick attack pass game, if that's what they choose to do instead of just running it up the middle like they should, will help. He's a good player. I don't know how healthy he'll be. I would imagine they just have to design up and scheme up some things, but who wouldn't want Hollywood Brown back in the lineup, right? But what I don't think is all of a sudden Hollywood Brown's going to arrive and everything's going to be fixed for the Chiefs offense. He could give them more red zone options, which is a great thing. But at the end of the day, nothing changes with that news, Tommy. What the Chiefs need to do, they're perfectly healthy and capable of. They're just not doing it.
Yeah, I think the only thing that scares me a little bit, and don't get me wrong, Hollywood Brown is great, and we've wanted to have him all season long. Down the stretch in the regular season and into the playoffs, that's great news. The only thing that scares me is that the Chiefs already are not running the ball, and when you get another weapon for Patrick Mahomes in the passing game, I mean, we might as well, you know, put Isaiah Pacheco and Kareem Hunt on milk cartons, you know, wondering where they are because they might end up being missing people if Hollywood Brown comes in. We saw the way that Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes wanted to work in DeAndre Hopkins into the game plan when they acquired him. And they did a really good job at that. And I don't think that's the wrong thing to do at all because they wanted to get him acclimated and they did a great job in that. And you've got clearly a legendary true threat at wideout for DeAndre Hopkins now. If they do the same thing with Hollywood Brown, you would think they're going to want to work him in pretty heavily to try to get him up to speed for a playoff push. You also have to wonder, I mean, there are only so many plays that a team can run in a game. How many of those will go to, you know, working in Hollywood Brown and potentially, again, abandoning the run game?
It's it's fine either way. Look, if you're afraid of Isaiah Pacheco getting hurt, which I think is always, if you then just give the ball to Kareem Hunt and Carson Steele and somebody else and Samaje Perine, I don't care. But the game plan is what I have a problem with. I don't care if Isaiah Pacheco only gets 10 carries as long as those others get 15 more, right? And running back carries. I'm not talking about end arounds and specialty straight through the middle of your interior line run plays that help you control the clock, that help you keep a defense honest and help keep Patrick Mahomes upright. And by the way, you happen to have, you know, the best interior line in football. So I doubt Hollywood Brown has any impact on whether or not the Chiefs decide to run the ball more. They either will or they won't. And I don't know why they won't so far, but I retain that there's a lot of regular season left for them to try to have that clarity. The only problem with that is that means there's a lot of regular season left for Patrick Mahomes to get sacked six times a game. So, you know, we'll see if Hollywood Brown does anything by the postseason, you know, but I do think it in a bigger picture reminds me that early in the year, like the Chiefs were snake bitten by injury, and they've begun to get healthy and stay healthy. So it's like this it feels like there's been three different seasons within this season of like things we're doing. And at the end of the day, with all
12
of
and
it,
one,
they're 12 and one. Right. And so that's what I mean. Like I know, and this does feed right into the wheelhouse for the Chiefs DNA and what drives them the most, this narrative that yes, they're 12 and one, but maybe they're about the fifth or sixth best team in football right now. That's what I think most people think, right? Maybe it's fourth best, whatever it is. They're 12 and one. They absolutely were decimated by injury early in the year. They still haven't been, you know, they still can't keep a left tackle healthy or find a solution there. Like all of these things that we talk about, and they're 12 and one. So when you get to the postseason, the thing that they do the best is what got them a Super Bowl last year is still on the table, and that's that they win close games. I think, you know, again, if you can get me to the point where they're consistently running the ball, and I don't want to put an exact number on it because that's hard to do, right? If the other team comes out and scores two quick touchdowns, well, you got to change that game plan. But for the most part, if there is a commitment to run the ball, I think this team is going to be fine. They just have to get to the point where they'll do it within a game. And it's really only been the last 5 weeks or so that they've gotten away from it. They've done this. Not only did they do it last year, Tommy, they've done it this year. It's only been since the Buffalo game that they stopped running the ball with running backs. That's it. Like if you go game by game, that is the point they sort of fell off a cliff on that. And then they've just been there ever since. So I do think it's attainable to get back to it because we've seen it even this year without Isaiah Pacheco.
But it's not a matter of the ball. It's not a matter of whether or not it's attainable because all they've got to do is just do it. Right. It's not like, well, you know, we've got to build back up to it. No, they've got the personnel to be able to make that happen. Isaiah Pacheco is healthy. Kareem Hunt is healthy. Then they've got a couple of change of pace backs that, you know, can help sort of alleviate, you know, a bunch of carries for those top two guys and Pacheco, especially in Pirine and Steele. So it's not a matter of whether or not they can attain it. They can and they will if they do it. I'm reminded of there's a pretty popular meme that's out there of, you know, just a guy that is screaming at the top of his lungs at a brick wall, hoping that the brick wall hears him. That's kind of where we're at right now. Like it's glaring. It's a glaring situation. And it has been for weeks and weeks and weeks where all signs point to the proper solution to what ails the Chiefs is to run the football more. Andy Reid is one of the best coaches to ever do it. He's a multi-time Super Bowl champion. He's the best thing that's ever happened to the Kansas City Chiefs as far as a coach is concerned. Like all those things are true and fair and all of it. But he's got to be committed to do it. And that's not Andy Reid. That's not in his DNA. They did it more a year ago because they were forced to, because they had no...
They did it more this year.
They had no other option at the time a year ago. They had no other pass catchers. And the pass catchers they did have were dropping the football, including future Hall of Famer Travis Kelce had more drops a season ago than he'd ever had. So out of necessity, they were forced to do it. Now, you would think that they would be... forced to do it this year too, but there are more options. There are more toys. There are more weapons where that can allow Andy Reid and the offense to get back more into that game plan of we're just going to throw the ball around with Patrick Mahomes. But everything that you've said and everything we've talked about for weeks about why they should, you're not wrong. Like that's all true. It's all well and good, but they have to do it and they haven't. At least in the last few weeks, they haven't. And so eventually you get to the point, at least I'm at the point now, where I'm kind of done expecting it. If they do, that's a really nice surprise. And it's something that will honestly take me by surprise, and I'll be, you know, really encouraged by it. But at the same time, a week ago in primetime on Sunday Night Football, I was really encouraged by the fact that they ran the ball five times on the opening drive, and then they didn't again until the very end of the game. You know, so it's kind of like getting your hopes up briefly, and then you're like, wait, what the hell is going on? Like, they started off with it. Where did it go?
So in totality last week, they did run it more than they had in more than a month. You know, they had 20 carries to the – and again, we're talking about running back carries, not Mahomes scrambles, not wide receiver trick gadgety plays. So in the first – if you take away the first game of the year against Baltimore, right, and I'm not taking it away for any reason other than to say from weeks two until the Buffalo game, the Chiefs were averaging more than 23 carries per game from running backs. And remember, the vast majority of these games, they did not have Isaiah Pacheco, okay? Then they got to the Buffalo game, and they ran it 16, 15, 18, and 14 times. Significantly, significantly lower in games when we know the Chiefs play nothing but close games. These are all close games. More recently, they've gotten Isaiah Pacheco back, right? Now, against the Chargers, it was strange because they did run it 20 times, but it was all at the very beginning of the game and the very end of the game and nothing in between, right? And so I will say this for the Chargers. They did a better job stopping the run than most teams have this year. Denver was really good stopping the run. And otherwise, I think the Chiefs gain at a clip that is perfectly acceptable to commit to the run. In the games against Buffalo, Carolina, and Vegas, the Chiefs averaged more than 4 yards a carry by their running backs in all three of those games. Okay, the Chargers game, they struggled with it a little bit more, but it's still then it was 3.7. Not a clip at where you would say, you know what, they don't need to run the ball. The three times this year where their run game has been flat ineffective was the opener against Baltimore, the first game against Vegas, and the game against Denver. That's it. Every other game, it's been effective enough to do it. And so I think that the hope for me is they just get back to what they were doing for the majority of this season, and that is to run the ball around 22 to 26 times a game with their running backs to keep the defense honest. And the other thing is, I do think with Pacheco, and they may be trying to limit Pacheco, and I don't have a problem with that, by the way. I do think there is something for the Chiefs too, because and this is the difference, I think, in this year and last year. You could have put, I don't care how many people you put in the box on the Chiefs last year, they went strength versus strength and won that way, right? And so let's take a break, and I'm going to look at this. So I'm going to try to pull this exact same page, right? But I'm going to go back to last year and see, maybe we're screaming at the clouds and we're wrong. Maybe they didn't run it as much as we think they did last year. I'm going to pull up these game logs. We're going to come back and we'll look at that. How much more did they last year? Because the personnel in the run game hasn't changed, right? It's been Pacheco, right? I know Kareem Hunt came in this year, but the interior line hasn't changed. Your tight ends are the same. The run game essentially is the same. What's changed is what you've talked about. They're better at wide receivers, so they want to use those guys. So 869-1240, we'll continue this discussion on the other side. The Chiefs, of course, gets the Browns this weekend. Very relevant, because the more times you drop back, or the more times Myles Garrett has a chance to get to Mahomes. All Brockton Caster at Sports Daily. It's a Friday. We'll make some football picks later in the show, by the way. We're coming right back on a Friday. Don't go away.
Dude, you gotta hear this.
Go ahead. I think I want to hear this.
Sports Daily is on KFH.
Welcome back into Sports Daily, everybody. Thanks to Prairie Fire Coffee for keeping us fueled up each and every morning on KFH. You can win a 4-pack of vouchers to Illuminations at Botanica right now, courtesy of Sports Daily, KFH, and Odyssey Wichita. All you got to do is text the keyword SHINE to the short code 20357. That's SHINE to 20357. One entry per person per day. Winners drawn at 11:30 this morning. 20357 is the number. Text the keyword SHINE. Good luck, everybody. Welcome back in, Jacob Albrock, Tommy Caster. Tommy, we're not going to like what I am about to say, but it would appear that the Chiefs didn't run it any more with running backs last year than they have this year. So I'm going back to the game logs here. And there were times that they did. There were times that they did. But for the most part, they were sitting between 15 and 20, 21, 22 carries per game. So, you know, maybe it's because maybe it feels that way for a couple of reasons. One, you had Pacheco the whole time, so they were a little more effective. And two, because Patrick Mahomes wasn't getting slaughtered out there by defensive ends, it didn't feel as bad. I don't, so that probably gives me a little less hope than they're going to all of a sudden run it 25 times a game. But that surprises me, because last year it sure felt like they were a more conservative offense in that way, but it doesn't appear that they were. To the running backs,
well,
right?
And this brings up a good thought or a good point that I've been considering for a while. You go back to a season ago, Donovan Smith started at left tackle, and Patrick Mahomes didn't get slaughtered nearly at the same rate that we've seen so far this year. They don't bring back Donovan Smith. In fact, no team signs Donovan Smith. He is still on the sideline. He's not playing. By all accounts, he's healthy and able to go, and he's made a couple of social media comments about how he's available. Something is going on with that is not really being discussed. We don't know the full story behind that, I would suspect. But at the same time, yeah, I think to myself, okay, we are, you know, maybe in hindsight, like, we're misremembering the amount of times that the Chiefs ran the ball a season ago. But I don't think we are misremembering how, you know, Patrick Mahomes was not under siege with Donovan Smith at left tackle. And so I wonder, like, you know, we can talk about the running game all day long. What was it? And I've been, you know, wanting to play detective for a while, and I'm not going to be the one to find out, I'm sure. But what was it that prompted the Chiefs to move away from Donovan Smith, number one? And then number two, to say, you know what, we're going to feel good about Wanya Morris, who has barely played in the NFL, and Kingsley Suamataia, who has never played in the NFL, to anchor probably the most important position on the offensive line. And then this is what we see going into the last few weeks of the regular season. I've thought about that a lot. Like, yeah, like, we can talk all day long about how that what can solve it is them running the football more. But how did we even get to this point in the first place? And I think that's a big part of it.
I think the second part is a little more clear. I think you trust your evaluations if you're the Chiefs on two high capital draft picks at that position.
To just throw them right into the fire, you know, and up from day one.
Look at Joe Alt. Yeah, I do think tackle is a little spot.
I mean, Joe Alt is great. Well, but
he's the first example because we just played him. But tackles and offensive linemen are plug and play more than probably a lot of other positions in the NFL. And that happens all the time, right? We see young offensive linemen in all the time. I don't think, you know, Wanya had a full year, and they did spend high draft capital on him, and then they move up to get Suamataia. The problem is, it would appear that they evaluated those two players very poorly. They have evaluated that position, quite frankly, pretty poorly. And look, Chiefs fans, I know they do most things right. This hasn't been one of them. We don't need to throw stones. Juwan Taylor, Orlando Brown, like, they've missed a lot at that position. They can't get it right. That's why we're in this situation. The first part of it, as to why with Donovan Smith, I don't know. But he's still out there. So something is obviously there that we'll never
wrong.
Know.
Something is obviously wrong.
Yeah, something is wrong there. Like, that we'll never know, or they would have gone.
I mean, they went out and they acquired DJ Humphreys.
Like, there's something
coming
there.
Off of a significant knee injury. They would have rather signed him than Donovan
correct.
Smith.
Yeah, I don't know what it
is,
but it's
like
something.
Let's be fair. Like, okay, Donovan Smith was not amazing for Kansas City.
No, he wasn't very good. Yeah,
but he was significantly better than what we've seen this year at left tackle.
That's correct. His replacement value is high, right? Like, his, you know, they've gotten much worse than he was, and he wasn't very good. I think the other thing is they chose this offseason to spend their money to solve the most glaring need on the roster, which was wide receiver. And that's what they went and attacked, and that's the way they chose to do it. And so
for a guy who hasn't played yet, by the way,
correct. And so like, you know, but those things happen again. They're 12-1. They're 12-1. Okay. So this running back that's the only, and it's even more necessary this year than it was last year. Again, if only to protect Patrick Mahomes. It's not like they're this juggernaut running team. It's just it protects Mahomes. So if you go back to last year, and I've always said like 25 is the number to me, I'd like to see the running backs combine for 25 carries. It's happening all across football. That's not outrageous to say anymore. The Chiefs last year did not give running backs the ball 25 times in a game after October 1st. Every game they played, including the postseason after October 21st, their running backs carried it fewer than 25 times with hot garbage at wide receiver for a lot of that stretch until Rashee Rice came into his own. So, you know, there probably is something to what Rashee Rice did to those numbers in the way that he affected the offense, right? Quick routes. And I do think one thing we are seeing change a little bit, and I think Dan Israel talked about this to some degree, quick, the time in the pocket does seem to be shrinking to some degree for Mahomes, and that obviously matters too. And perhaps with a more talented group of pass catchers, we do need to just say, okay, it's Andy Reid. They're never going to carry the ball that much. But even then, can the offense, you know, take that evolution? And I know they drafted Worthy and they won all the downfield stuff, but right now they just can't do that. So, but you do happen to have two great tight ends and DeAndre Hopkins, at some point Hollywood Brown, running backs that can catch it. Do you get to a point where it's like Mahomes can't ever take more than 3 seconds to throw the ball? Like every route concept has to be quick routes, except for those one or two shots you want to try to take to Worthy or maybe Hollywood Brown when he gets back a game. You combine that with the run, and that's the way we should look at this, right? How many times does Mahomes sit in the pocket for a long time? But I think the problem with that is this year, especially Mahomes, because he's a human being, doesn't ever want to just sit there in the pocket like that. He's on the move constantly because he knows he's a sitting duck because of reality, right? Because he's under siege every play. And so that's going to be interesting. Is he able to take the quick drop and get rid of the ball without having to bail out of the pocket?
He is.
Psychologically, though, that's going to be difficult because he's been under fire on almost every single dropback he's taken this year, it feels like. So that does take a little bit of a rewiring there. And again, another reason why it'd be real nice if the other team didn't know they could just pin their ears back and pass rush as often.
I think he can. I think he does already. I mean, you know, I go back to the touchdown pass to Hopkins on Sunday night. And it was super fast. I mean, he barely had that ball for 2 seconds before he got it out of his hands and into Hopkins into the end zone. So I he can do that 100%, and he has done that. I think the question then becomes, is that the best use of the offense? Is that the best use of Patrick Mahomes to do that? And I think it can be. And Mahomes has shown that he is super versatile, can do so many different things. Part of me wonders if some of this with the offensive line is a thought process from the coaching staff where, yeah, Mahomes is under fire a lot, but would you rather have anybody else on the run, scrambling outside of the pocket to be able to make things happen and to have success? No, probably not. So I wonder if that thought is the thought of our offensive line play has to be clean and top level is mitigated or discounted, not as important to them because, well, we've got a guy in Patrick Mahomes that can create and make amazing things happen outside of the pocket all the time. So we don't necessarily have to have a rock solid offensive line because we've got a guy like, think about some of the, you know, more maybe mid-level to not great quarterbacks in the NFL. you have to have a rock solid offensive line because they can't produce anything
there
on the fly.
There aren't very many that
they can't do it. So it makes me wonder if that's been the thought process for a while. What's interesting about that thought, there are flaws in it, and those things can be exposed. Because again, you go back to the Super Bowl against the Buccaneers. The Chiefs were exposed in that moment. The lack of offensive line play, quality offensive line play, got Patrick Mahomes running for his life out there, and he wasn't able to connect, wasn't able to have success because it was just so glaring. It was so bad, the offensive line play was, that there's even a limit to what Patrick Mahomes can do. He's the best quarterback that we've probably ever seen. But as you just mentioned a moment ago, he is still human.
Yeah, look, I think, you know, the Super Bowl game was less about how bad the offensive line was and more about they took away the deep routes and the Chiefs. And then their defensive line had an opportunity to get after it because those guys weren't getting open. The whole league then started defending people. The Chiefs adjusted out of that faster than the rest of the league. I think we're finally seeing late in this season quarterbacks make the adjustment that Mahomes made 2 years ago. So they're capable of doing it. And I don't think defenses are changing that all of a sudden. That's why I think we've seen Mahomes, his numbers get better over the course of this season because they have changed up how they're passing the ball. But I still don't want to concede that the right thing to do is protect Mahomes, at least until you get to the postseason, right? If there was ever a time where you've got, how many games do we have left here? Four? You've got four games left. If there was ever a time, you've got two games over, you're two games ahead of the Bills right now. You're two games clear of them. Why not? You have almost nothing to lose here. Just try it. If nothing else, and for no other reason than to protect Mahomes for the rest of the regular season, just try it. And who knows what happens? Now we've got a base model. We can see maybe it makes the offense better. Maybe it doesn't. Maybe it makes the offense worse. Who cares? You're 12-1. But at minimum, you've reduced the opportunities the defensive linemen have to get to Mahomes. At worst, you've done that. Even if you lose the games, you don't want to lose home field. And I know you play to win every game, and I'm being overly simplistic in this. But if there was ever a time to try it, it's now, with the Bills losing to the Rams. You've got a little cushion. You're about to face the league's perhaps best pass rusher, at least in the conversation for it. Why not now, right? Why not this week you try to do that if the game script allows you to do it, which it probably will?
I do not disagree with you in any way.
And if it sucks and it doesn't work, who cares? You've protected Mahomes.
The reason why I'm smiling is because you're not wrong on any of it. You're not. And you can give all of the data and evidence and reasons. And look, I've done that too. Like, why they should do this. They haven't. Like, they haven't. Like, it's stubbornness, maybe. I don't exactly know.
No, I think it's just this is the way Andy Reid coaches, and sure, that's okay.
Yeah.
Like, that's what he does.
So, again, it's like screaming at a brick wall, and expecting the brick wall to do what you want it to do. Like, so we can give all the stats and reasoning, the logical explanation why they should do. And you know what? They may very well dangle that carrot in front of us on the opening drive, like they did a week ago against the Chargers, and run the ball five times.
Here we go.
Hey, they're finally listening. Like, Andy Reid's probably tuning into this show right now and like, hey,
right, yeah,
it's a light bulb. Like, man, I've never thought about this before. And then all of a sudden it goes away. You know what I mean? So, like, again, I'm not getting my hopes up. You're not wrong on any of it. And I wish they would. I hope they would. I've stopped expecting that they will.
There's a caveat to this. If we're saying this and they do it and lose, we must be willing to accept that as that's just fine because Mahomes made it through, right?
Well, depends
because
on how they lose.
There is a world where they do this and it leads to a loss. I get that completely. Totally understand it. Wouldn't even say that I disagree with it. I don't think that would happen.
It depends on how they lose. I mean, if they lose,
I think highly of their interior line.
If they lose in a shootout, in one of these games where the running game is incredibly effective and they put up three or four touchdowns, but the defense lets them down, then yeah, like that's a different kind of scenario.
That's what I'm saying though. Like I must be willing to accept it. And this is here's the thing. And Rick's chiming in here, and Andy sure has a lot of wins for somebody that doesn't know how to coach. This is what this is what happens with Chiefs fans.
Calm down, take a breath, Rick.
He's one of the five best coaches, three best coaches, however you want to slice it, of all time. That doesn't mean every single thing all the time is right. It's like when anybody's ever, you know, tries to be critical of Mahomes, it was like, well, Mahomes has all these Super Bowls. He's incapable of doing something differently.
No, yeah.
Yeah. No, that's not what anybody's saying. And again, they're 12-1, and everybody totally understands that. My biggest concern in all of this is not anything other than 15 being upright when the postseason starts. And right now, you're taking a lot of risk with him, taking the amount of heat and hits that he takes within a game, even when they're not sacks, there's contact there. That is the doomsday scenario in all of this. And that's why it's so urgent. It's not because it's the best path for them to win a game. It's not because we think we know more than any NFL coach, let alone Andy Reid. It's because we're all watching Patrick Mahomes get destroyed out there. And that is the concern, right? It's not about what is the best way for them to move the ball and be an effective offense. For me, it's not.
For me,
not
it is.
Now.
For me, it is.
Know if it is.
This is me wanting the Chiefs to be the best version of themselves. And look, they're 12-1. And again, record says you are. But they have 1,000% not been the best version of themselves over the last month.
But honestly, like they haven't run the ball when they have so effectively that it's egregious. Like the quality of their runs. Now they have Pacheco back, which does matter. But again, I don't want to call him fragile, but you want to make sure he's there. It's not that for me. I am absolutely willing to concede that the best version of this offense is what is being put out there. I am fine with that, especially with Mahomes playing much better than he was early in the year. I'm totally willing to accept that. That's where I would probably trust Andrew. But that's not my priority here. My priority here is A, to help the defense, which I think running the ball does. Whether or not it's your best version of your offense, it's helping your defense, which is flawed, stay off the field. And it's keeping Mahomes upright. Those two reasons are far more important to me to want to see here than what the best version of the offense is, because I'm absolutely willing to say the best version of the offense is to put the ball in Patrick Mahomes' hands 35 to 40 times. You won't, like, I'm not going to sit here and say, no, you're wrong. That's incorrect, because I don't think that it is. I don't know that it is. I'm unsure, but I think that some of the things that challenge this team in other places, that's where I think this helps them. And again, I've got to be willing to accept that may mean they don't move the ball as well on offense. Maybe they don't score as many points. I have to be willing to accept that, because I think it's absolutely possible to maybe even likely if they do this. But you're protecting Mahomes every time you run the ball, and you're in some ways protecting your defense every time you run the ball. I mean, that's just that when you control the clock, you keep your defense off the field. And right now their defense is not what it once was. We'll get to this game after another segment here, because we're going to pick it. It's a noon game, so it'll be early in the picks this week. We're going to come back. We'll wrap up hour number one. We got a full house in hour number two. I said this, and I didn't even mean to, and I'm very proud of it, Tommy, but it was unintentional. TGIF, and we have a full house in hour number two.
Oh.
Come on now.
I did like that show a lot when I was growing up. Watched it every week.
Yeah. We'll be right back. More Sports Daily right after this.
To get back to the sports talk.
All right, let's do this thing. Go!
Sports Daily is on KFH.
All right, welcome back, everybody. It's Sports Daily on this Friday. Tommy Caster, Jacob Albrock, Jad Chambers producing the program, debuting a brand new feature on our program. Every single Friday, we're calling it the Friday Fit here on Sports Daily with our friends over at 3570 Golf Co. here in Wichita. If you are a golfer or if you just like clothes, 3570 Golf Co. is a local golf apparel brand. And they make their designs, Jacob, really to invoke what the Heartland is, the Midwest feel. What's really cool about Friday Fit is that I am, if you're watching our video stream, I am wearing some of the 3570 Golf Co. apparel. I've got the golf shirt here. It's called the Amber Waves. And you know, if you get in close, you might be able to see the wheat stalks that are on the golf shirt. I'm rocking the prairie hoodie in the evergreen color, which I got to tell you, I don't know if you're a hoodie guy or not. This is the softest hoodie, I swear to you, I've ever worn in my entire life.
Well, stand up and twirl it, girl. Let's
see. Well, I mean, come on. Like, I'm sort of like bound here by where the microphone is, so I can't really model it on the video stream. You'll have to take my word for it, or you can go online to 3570golfco.com. And if you want to take a look at their product line, they've got brand new polos just in time for the holiday season. It's perfect if you're an avid golfer or if you're a weekend warrior, or maybe you just, you know, like for me, I like wearing golf shirts to work because they're comfortable and they dress up nicely for meetings and things like that. You can go check out their entire product line. They've got hats, they've got hoodies, they've got golf head covers, got a bunch of other cool stuff. Use the promo code Tommy, by the way, that's T-O-M-M-Y, at 3570golfco.com, and you can get 10% off your order. So we're really excited to work with them. This is going to be happening every single Friday here on the program. And yeah, we're excited to have them part of the show.
Good, perfect timing for Christmas season, too. I'm going to check out some of their stuff. We had so much fun with them at the Wichita Open last year, so glad to have them on board. Thank you for their support. And yeah, we'll have Tommy modeling some apparel here for us.
I never thought that I would be like a fashion influencer. But
yes,
hey,
did.
Look,
yes, you
I,
did.
I, you okay, hope. You're right. I yes, hope you did. I crossed my fingers. I desperately wanted to be a fashion influencer. Yes,
this is a dream come true.
But I'm not kidding you though. This is the softest and most comfortable hoodie I've ever worn. The cool thing about it too, by the way, I just have to say, with golf shirts, I've worn a lot of them over the course of my life. I know you have too. The thing I hate the most is the bacon collar, you know, like you wash it a few times and the collar gets like wrinkly folded. Like this is like super firm. It doesn't do that. It won't do that. So yeah, definitely in time for the holidays, go online, 3570golfco.com. Use promo code Tommy.
That's fantastic. Glad to have them on board. We're going to come into hour number two, by the way. We'll have two more giveaways for you in hour number two. A lot of good stuff there. So make sure you do that. We're also going to make some picks. TJ, Brandon, Paul, all going to join the program as we're making our way through. I don't know how much have you seen all this like milk stuff, bird flu stuff, Tommy. It's been crazy in the news lately. Have you been keeping up?
I mean, I've heard a little bit about it. I really haven't followed a lot. I've heard a lot about the drones. Is that related to all the drone thing going on?
No, it's just this milk. Like every time I hear it, it reminds me of this time I had a really bad sunburn. And a doctor was like, you know what? You need to take a milk bath. I'm like, a milk bath for a sunburn? And he's like, trust me, it'll help. And I said, you know, I was like, pasteurized? And he said, no. Just up to your neck should be fine.
I was waiting for that punchline.
There was no easy way to like set that up. By the way, it's here's the sharp left turn.
I didn't
have
get
you been
it at first.
With the milk news? Oh, you didn't get it?
I do now. Pasteurized. Like, I understand it now.
Just up to your neck.
I understand it now.
Pasteurized.
I told you this one last night. Why was the Christmas garland late?
Good. This is good.
It got hung up.
Yep. I like
Where's my drum symbol,
well,
Jad?
To be fair, I'd let Jad know that he would need to
give me the hi hat here a little bit. Jad, come on, man.
I didn't have the crickets ready. Sorry.
Wow.
Oh yeah. We need to bring that back. You know, there was a while there. We were on like a good 6 month stretch of trying to sneak in dad jokes, and I need to get that back going again. I'll work on that. What I'll work on in the break here is how to pick some of these games. That's what we're doing next. We'll get you ready for the college basketball weekend as well in hour number two. Thanks for being here with us, everybody. On your way to work, want to keep listening to Sports Daily even after you park the car? With the Odyssey app and Odyssey.com, you can just download the app, visit Odyssey.com, search for KFH, download the Odyssey app to get started, download this show in podcast form. Go back and listen to how we're about to pick these games. Jad's got the receipts. That's next on Sports Daily.